I'm Norman Caruso. Steven, I picked up Super Mario 3D Land the other day. What do you think?
I'm Steven Duncan. Norm, unfortunately, I'm one of these poor boys and can't afford a 3DS. Thank you for rubbing that in.
You're welcome. This is the Level 7 Podcast. And welcome to the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, we're on episode 9. This is 3 weeks in a row.
I know, 3 weeks, dude. Did you imagine that we were going to be doing this?
We usually take vacation.
I know. I'm getting antsy. The guys that I work with, like, what are you still doing here? Isn't it time to take some time off?
Yeah.
It kind of is.
And we just do it. We're like, oh, we've recorded 2 weeks in a row. It's time to take another week off.
Well, it's a reward. Go, we did so well, and then now we're gone.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to stick to the schedule of every Monday we have the Level 7 Podcast, and then if you go to thegaminghistorian.com, we're actually kind of doing articles now on every Wednesday, every Friday. You'll see some from me, you'll see some from Steven.
Possibly.
Steven writes when he wants, but...
I try.
Your writing is appreciated.
Thank you, Norm. And I am thinking about the website. I do have something that's hopefully coming down the pipelines if I can get my fingers to the keyboard.
And I don't pay you anything, but I do appreciate your hard work.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Labor laws.
So, just a few announcements. Yeah, we do on the website have some articles every Wednesday and every Friday. Every Monday is this podcast, and then coming soon is a new Gaming Historian video.
Yay!
Yeah. Steven, are you excited?
I am. This is quite the pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Do you know what it's going to be on?
I have no idea. I don't have insider information.
Well, it's going to be on an NES game that was developed by like an all-star team of developers, but it sold so poorly and that no one knows about it. So I'm going to reveal the mystery. Ooh.
I'm excited.
Get excited.
Yeah, you can school me because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, on this episode of the Level 7 Podcast, we're talking about Final Fantasy 13 2.
Talking about that next Xbox console.
And our main topic, which will be interesting, we kind of came up with it on the fly, it's the best and worst direct sequels in video games.
Yeah, thought about that when I was at work climbing 15 feet in the air completely unsupported on the second balcony of something. I almost died when I thought of that main topic, Norm.
Steven, you're a trapeze artist by profession.
I am.
Wow.
Which is odd because my parents died in a trapeze accident, even though they're not trapeze artists.
Didn't Robin from Batman and Robin, didn't his parents die from that or something?
Yes, Dick Grayson's parents died, but they were a trapeze act.
Okay.
My parents weren't in a trapeze act.
They were just on a trapeze?
Yes.
Okay.
And they died. Now I'm going to be sad for the rest of the podcast.
We're just kidding, people. Steven actually works at a... Well, you tell him.
Well... Not to get too much into it, because it's pretty boring. I don't know. I do audiovisual.
He does audiovisual, like this podcast.
Yes.
Okay. So let's get into our first topic, Steven. The Final Fantasy 13 2 demo is now out. Have you given it a shot, and has it changed your mind at all about the game?
I actually gave it a shot. I saw that the demo was out, and I had a conversation about Final Fantasy 13. It might have... actually been on this podcast, and I was like, well, you know, let me give it a shot, because I tried playing Final Fantasy 13 again, and it wasn't working, so starting 13-2 is kind of, you know, starting from the beginning helped me ease back into it. Square does weird things with their sequels. They really want to incorporate more, like, side things into the game.
Uh-huh.
Like, here there are the quick time events. Apparently there's going to be much more
Oh my god.
Side quests and mini games, and then there's like the walk around tile puzzle thing that's in the demo. And now it's Final Fantasy 13-2 / Pokemon.
Yeah, you can capture monsters and they fight and
level
with you.
Them up. Yeah.
Yeah. I played the demo yesterday and I didn't even know what I was playing. So is this a Final Fantasy game? Now, granted, I have not played 13 yet. Okay. So I'm speaking strictly on, hey, it's a Final Fantasy game. Here's the demo. I'm going to try it. Quick time events, capturing enemies, and the battle system is very strange.
It takes some getting used to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to defend 13 or 13-2's battle system and say that was the greatest ever. However, I found that it was serviceable. I got through 13 and enjoyed myself. So I picked up 13-2. I wasn't as awestruck by the battle system as you were, Norm. So I was able to work with it.
Oh, and I do want to mention, I cannot believe they put a voice to the Moogle. Did you hear that?
I did, and for some reason I think the Moogle is a schizophrenic side of Sarah. I got that impression that we're going to find out that that's her like psyche completely shattered.
It ruined the game. That Moogle talking completely ruined it.
So when you played Final Fantasy VI, you never imagined Mog talking like that?
Oh, hell no.
Norm, new details have emerged about the next Xbox console. It's rumored that it will lock out used games. Good idea or bad idea?
That is a really bad idea, in my opinion. Now, we've talked about online passes on this show, mm-hmm. and how I'm not a fan of them. And this is just like the next step, don't you think? Like,
I do.
Just don't let them play the game at all.
Yeah,
Now apparently they can play it, but they'll have to purchase like a code again or something, or they can only play it for a certain time limit.
Really?
Yeah.
So I think this is a terrible idea. This wouldn't affect me too terribly much because in recent years I do buy brand new games.
Oh yeah, as do I. But what if? You know, what if there's a game that you missed and you're like, oh, I want to pick it up, and they don't sell it new anymore?
And that's the point I'm agreeing to. If you miss a game, when I wanted to get, say, some of the PS2 Shin Mega 10 games, like Nocturne or Digital Devil Saga, the only way to get them was used. So with this system, you know, because those games were out of print. They mm-hmm. didn't make them anymore. So if I were to want to do that on that system, I won't be able to do it. This is a awful idea. Plus, you're alienating some of your fan base, because there are some gamers that buy exclusively used to, you know, try to save a couple of dollars. Because we've said this on the show, you know, in some lifestyles, that $5 off makes a big difference.
It does. And not only that, but people that buy on, like, Craigslist or eBay, I mean, it just destroys those markets.
Right, and it does destroy any nostalgia that you can have on this console.
It's a stupid idea, and I really hope they don't do it.
I hope not either. That is a huge downturn if that occurs.
Yes. BlizzCon, the annual event held in Anaheim to celebrate all of Blizzard's products, has been canceled this year and will return in 2013. To quote a representative, in light of our jam-packed schedule, we've decided to hold the next BlizzCon in 2013. Do you buy this?
The reason I buy this is because Diablo 3 needs to get here. It needs to get here fast. I've seen some opinions on this around the internet, and that's people aren't like too worried about Blizzard's financial situation. If they're taking time off so they can develop, I mean, they say jam-packed schedule. It's Diablo 3. There's also a digital sports tournament going on somewhere in Asia that's going to be planned by Blizzard. I can only assume that means StarCraft 2 somewhere in or around Korea.
Yeah. Now, isn't this a bad sign, though, that they're, like, what's to say they're going to hold it next year?
They did announce
they're going to hold it next year, but who's to say they won't cancel it next year?
They cancel it next year? Yeah, then we kind of start to worry. But BlizzCon's one of those things, it's more of a self-indulgent thing. This isn't necessarily a... a thing that they need. This isn't them canceling investors meetings or real meetings. BlizzCon is this really self-indulgent thing that they hold for the fans so they can go out and wear their pretty elf costumes. I'm not too worried that they cancel it, their own little self-indulgent con.
Yeah, it's a con strictly for Blizzard products.
Right.
So there's a little self-indulgence there, yeah.
There is. This isn't something... They tell me they shut down servers, I'm worried. They tell me they're not going to talk to investors anymore, I'm worried. But they're just saying they got stuff to do. And with those two big things, the sports tournament and Diablo 3, and give them a little bit of leeway. But don't cancel it next year, because then we're going to start thinking some dirty things.
Everybody panic.
Netflix was rumored to begin a game rental service, but that is officially dead. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings recently told investors that the company was no longer interested. Should someone step up and compete against Gamefly?
God, I hope so, because I can't bring myself to get Gamefly. It's too expensive, and I've heard nothing but bad things about Gamefly. As far as, you know, let's say you have a new game come out, it's basically extremely hard to rent that game when it first comes out, because everybody wants to rent that game.
That would make sense, you know, to have some direct competition to Gamefly. The reason I don't think that we're seeing direct competition to Gamefly is there's just not a big enough market to compete.
Well, I mean, the only direct competition I can think of is Blockbuster. Blockbuster Online does do game rentals.
Didn't Blockbuster go under?
Their retail stores are going under, but their actual online is supposedly doing okay.
Thank you for schooling me.
But, again, Gamefly is strictly games. I like healthy competition, I guess. I don't like that there's no other option.
Like I said, I think there would be another option if the market was a little bit bigger. With all the gamers that you and I have met in our travels, Norm, I can honestly say that I've met one person that has subscribed to Gamefly.
Yeah.
And I saw them probably get two games from that service. And they didn't really say, like, oh, this is the best thing ever, everybody needs to do this. He got his couple games, he played them as long as he wanted, and that was it.
I worked with two guys that got Gamefly 2, mm-hmm. and they used it for their free month, and then they canceled, and they said, I don't want to pay, it's like $15 a month to subscribe. And again, you're not guaranteed any game you want.
Right. I think it was probably in Netflix's best interest to step back. Like I said, I don't think there's too big of a market. But if someone came out and competed against Gamefly, that might generate healthy competition to get that market up.
Well, when we come back, we'll go to our main topic, best and worst direct sequels. We'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
And we're back with the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, time for our main topic. So, again, we came up with this kind of on the fly, but our best and worst direct sequels. So, a direct sequel is...
It is a continuation of what that video game or what that story was.
Yes. For example, Super Mario Brothers 3 is not a direct sequel to Super Mario Brothers 2 because those two games really have nothing in common.
Right, and the same thing could be said of... like RPG series that get into really big numbers.
Like Final Fantasy X is not the continuation of Final Fantasy IX.
But Final Fantasy X-2 is a direct sequel to Final Fantasy X.
Exactly.
And to clarify, games like Breath of Fire that may or may not have some type of dimensional connection doesn't count. And the Legend of Zelda series doesn't count because I hate that timeline.
Yeah, we're not the only one I would count is Zelda 2: The Adventures of Link or Majora's Mask. Majora's Mask is a direct sequel to Ocarina of Time, and Zelda 2 is technically a direct sequel to the first because they're trying to revive Ganon. But neither of those are on our list.
No, they're really not.
So, Steven, give us your best direct sequel.
I had two come to mind when I thought of best and worst direct sequels. I thought of Digital Devil Saga 2. And that may be more skewed because I love Digital Devil Saga 1 so much that I really wanted to finish that story. And it was more or less more of the same.
Now, what... Digital Devil Saga 2 came out for...
PS2.
PlayStation 2. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, Digital Devil Saga 1 and 2 were... They're pretty much one game. They just split it in two. There's subtle differences here and there, some gameplay tweaks. But the reason they're really split into two is because even though it's a direct continuation, they take place on two different... realms of existence, so to speak. So the story, even though it's one overarching thing, has two distinct parts.
So what makes this your best direct sequel? What is it about this game?
This one really has more to do with the first game than it does the second game, because the first game gives you all this build-up, all this start to... You grow with the characters, because they really do grow before your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You go through this long journey with them. You get question after question after question after question. Then you get to the end, and it's a cliffhanger, which is very, very maddening and usually infuriates me to no end.
Okay.
However, I had Digital Devil Saga. I bought them both at the same time.
That's perfect. You bought them used, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
See, if this was on the new Xbox, you couldn't do that.
Oh, and I would there would have been violent episodes across the country because of it. So, because there was all that, and I had the second one laying right next to me, the cliffhanger didn't bug me so much. And then I pick up the game. These characters have still grown. They start unveiling all of the questions and all the answers
from the first game.
Yes.
Okay.
So there is a connection like between the two. It's not just still leaving you with questions. They answer things.
So it brought you some closure.
Yes.
Okay.
Which was amazing. And then they kind of end the series with this Shakespearean tragedy kind of sense, even though it is a happy-ish ending. It's really... it's very yin-yangy.
Okay.
There's plenty of good, plenty of bad, which kind of makes sense because one of the final characters you get has a yin-yang on their head. It's really stuck in my mind as a sequel. And then the other one was Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect 2 was... There was still the continuation kind of the story. There were characters that you met back up with, but it wasn't really the story that latched me onto Mass Effect 2 as an awesome sequel like Digital Devil Saga 2.
Uh-huh.
What latched me to this was the development of the game. The developers saw the flaws and things in the first game, decided they wanted to try to fix it. There's no more of that Land Rover BS in Mass Effect 2. Now, granted, they replaced it with mining, which I guess is fun to a WoW fan, but to us normal people, that's pretty boring. However, they experimented with the gameplay, took it to more of an action-y type game versus an RPG type game. You know, they experimented, they got kind of adventurous. It just seems like it was just a thought out game.
So like, would you say it was more thought out than the first one?
A little bit. You could tell that they took note of what they did in the first one. And to me, that does make a great sequel when you understand what your mistakes were in the past, because that's the point of a sequel. If you're lucky enough to get a direct sequel, fix your mistakes. Don't do them again.
Right.
I mean, that shows, you know, intelligence or some level of intelligence. And that really makes me excited for Mass Effect 3, because they're saying, you know, we took notes from the first and second one in all levels of the gameplay. And now we're going to develop all that. They said we're going to try to develop the character storylines more. We're going to try to develop the gameplay more. They're going to let you explore more of the universe, which means that they're developing the game world more. So Mass Effect 2 is one of my current best direct sequels. Something tells me if we talk about this after Mass Effect 3 is released, I'm going to have a different opinion. What's your best, Norm?
So my best sequel was a time where I was really into PC gaming, and that would be Half-Life 2. And it was just one of those games where, you know, it had a lot to live up to, because the original Half-Life was not only a good game, but it spawned other good games because it was built on a really good engine. You might be familiar with like Counter-Strike, or Day of Defeat, or all these different mods that came out for the original Half-Life. So, you know, Half-Life 2 comes out and it has this amazing physics engine, which is still used today. A portal. Portal's built on the Half-Life 2 engine.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all the great mods that came out with it too, but the game itself, Half-Life 2, was just a great continuation of the original Half-Life. It takes place 20 years after the original, and it pieced it all together very well. They reintroduced some characters from the first one. The new weapons, like the gravity gun, is just really fun. And yeah, I really think it's the best sequel I've ever played.
So,
direct sequel.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because as we've discussed, I'm not really a PC guy, so my PC knowledge is nowhere near what some people think it should be.
Okay.
Half-Life 2, doesn't that have more parts coming to it?
It has Episode 1. I don't know about Episode 2.
Okay.
That's something we'll have to look up real quick.
I guess the grand question I'm asking is the story of Half-Life 2 complete yet?
Let's see. Okay, so there is an Episode 2. Mm-hmm. I haven't kept up with it in so long.
I know we're reaching back to the days of yore of Norm.
Okay, and it looks like they are coming out with an Episode 3.
Okay.
It has been confirmed to be the next installment. Okay. So, but yeah, I'm speaking strictly just about Half-Life 2. It was just a great continuation of the first one. Had a lot to live up to, and now you see all these new games coming out that are built on that engine. It's just a great engine. The physics are incredible. And what's great about Half-Life 2, what's interesting, there's no cutscenes. everything is in game, and it just looks beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
again, something I didn't know.
Yeah, and the story, it's not like the story isn't the most important, and we might have this conversation later, like how important is story in a video game? But again, it's not that important. The game's just a lot of fun. It's just a great sequel. So that would be my pick. Now let's get to the bad part, the worst sequels. Steven, what's the worst sequel? You know, you were so excited, you're like, oh my god, they made a sequel to this game. You play it and you're like, oh, this is awful.
Yeah. So this, I have almost a personal vendetta against this game, and it's Final Fantasy IV, The After Years.
Okay, and that was released on... The DS? Download title?
Originally, well, for American consumers, it was released on the Wii Marketplace.
Okay.
I think in Japan, it was originally a phone game.
Is released on the Wii?
Yes.
That's weird.
It's incredibly weird. Final Fantasy IV did not need a sequel. It really didn't.
You know what the title reminds me of?
What is that?
It reminds me of like a reunion show for like a TV show.
Yeah, you know, like
The After Years.
Yeah, like a bad 80s sitcom or some mess.
Yeah.
So, that Fred Savage narrates.
Exactly.
Yeah. That game didn't need a sequel. It didn't. When they said there was going to be a sequel, Final Fantasy IV was one of the games that got me into RPGs. And I owed a... Final Fantasy IV did a lot for my imagination in regards to storytelling, in regards to visual imagery, in regards to music, which is a big thing for me, being a music and audio guy. I mean, Final Fantasy IV was one of those gems of my past. And then here's the sequel. Like, well, I'll at least give it a shot. I owe Final Fantasy IV that much.
You've got to. It's one of your favorite games, you got to play a sequel.
Right. It was terrible. It was awful. It was...
Now, what made it so bad?
The gameplay is pretty much the same. They have a new like combo system that maybe it gets more critical later on in the game, but it wasn't too critical to me, and it was kind of a waste of time. But it didn't seem like it had a challenge to the game, which with Final Fantasy IV, the original Final Fantasy IV, that original difficulty that was part of that game was, you know, the actual difficulty level of it. This game wasn't that difficult. It was kind of like they bumped it back to Final Fantasy II US in terms of difficulty. They tried interjecting relatives and children of characters past. Like the main character is Ciador, who is Cecil and Rose's child.
Okay.
None of them are too terribly interesting. And then what's really, really, really disappointing is that the game is sold in parts. It's not sold as an entire unit.
Okay. It is. How many parts are there?
I forget. I think it's upwards of 10.
Good lord. There's 10 of them on the Wii? Like, you have to download each one?
Right, and you have to pay for each one.
Now, I'm reading here that you can get the entire thing on the PlayStation Portable.
Yes.
Final Fantasy IV, the complete collection.
Yes, you can. And okay. I didn't try that, despite me having a PSP. I haven't really bought games for it in the past couple of years. But the story was just god-awful. Not only was it broken up into 10 parts focusing on each character, it was really forced. They started to rehash moments from Final Fantasy IV, like almost like line for line. The moment that stuck out of my mind in regards to that was when the attack on Fabul, which was that was a really important part of the story in Final Fantasy IV. You're in this kingdom and boom, sieged. They tried recreating that, and Yang, who now is the king of Fabul, steps out, sees the siege coming, in an almost sprite for sprite recreation. The difference is he raises his hand and goes, "Hey, we don't have to fight," and then they bomb the crap out of the place anyways. So there was some justification, but it was just awful. I hated seeing my childhood memories rehashed in this uglier game engine with much, much worse writing.
Do you feel like this was kind of like a cash-in for Square, like releasing it in 10 parts like that?
Absolutely. And I hate them for that.
And they tugged at your heartstrings by making it a Final Fantasy IV the after years. Of course you're going to buy it.
Exactly. I think I made it halfway through that game. I still don't know how I made it halfway. 5 parts.
And you're done?
Oh, I was completely done.
Done.
Because I was screaming and crying and I was throwing stuff. It was just such a emotion.
This is a dark side of you I've never heard before.
Yeah, it was a tumultuous time for me, that game.
Well, perhaps that might have been a little better than my experience with my worst sequel. And I have two, but I'm not gonna be like you, Steven. I'm just gonna pick one.
Oh, screw you too.
Okay. I'm going to choose Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. Okay. And if you don't know, this is the direct sequel to Banjo-Tooie on the Nintendo 64. So it's been a long time coming. I'm a huge Banjo-Kazooie fan. I've had arguments that it's better than Super Mario 64.
Ooh.
Okay.
That could be a main topic in and of itself. But
it could. You and I might duke it out because I know you like Super Mario 64.
I do.
Okay. Now, did you ever play Banjo-Kazooie?
I picked up the downloadable version of Banjo-Kazooie on the Xbox Live.
And you had a great time, didn't you?
Oh, it was a fun game.
Yeah. Awesome game. Yeah. So, when you hear one is coming out on the 360, I probably pissed myself. Okay.
Are we going to leave that up to speculation?
Sure.
Okay.
So, a platformer on the next gen, especially on the Xbox, a platformer. That is some big news. And it's called Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I hear more about it. And then I get the demo. And it's not a platformer.
No.
You build vehicles. It's like 80% building vehicles, 20% platforming. You build these vehicles, and that's how you navigate through each level. And I don't even know why it's a Banjo-Kazooie game. Do you know how disappointed I was?
So you fell victim to a cash-in as well?
I don't think this was a cash-in.
Well, I think that the only reason they put Banjo-Kazooie in the title was so people like you who were huge fans of it were like, oh, let me check this game out.
You know, you might be right there. It was just, I can't even begin to describe how disappointed I was.
Oh, I know the feeling that you had because I just described it.
Okay. Just imagine, you're so excited to play the next Banjo-Kazooie game, and it's a freaking, driving simulator.
Now, is it...
And it's confusing as hell, too. I don't even know how little kids could play that game.
So, was it just a driving game, or was it, kind of a dumbed-down Twisted Metal game?
Yeah, it was, a platformer slash vehicle. You went through the level and collected all these nuts and bolts. And you that way you could get new parts and you can make these new vehicles, and some of it was cool, but again, it could have been, it's a game on its own. It didn't need the Banjo-Kazooie label slapped on it.
Yeah, and then
because
ruined.
He just ruined it, ruined
ruined
the whole shebang.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry too. You gotta stick to, this is why I like retro gaming. The new releases just disappoint you. See, Steven, you gotta stick to the classics. You gotta stick to Final Fantasy IV. Don't play the after years.
I have stuck to Final Fantasy IV, and I own every American release of Final Fantasy IV with the exception of the PlayStation Portable one, and have beaten all of them.
Would you have enjoyed the after years if it was just like a talk show and they were interviewing Cecil and Rose and they're like, so what are you guys doing now?
Yes, I would have enjoyed that so much more. And then like they bring out a kid and they bring out Murray and then they tell Edge that it's his baby and he freaks out.
Who is the father?
Yeah. See, that would have been great because then I didn't have to go through this dribble.
And Sid makes an appearance?
Of course.
Yeah. Still okay.
Big beard.
We can't talk about this anymore. No. It's just upsetting me.
Yeah, this has got to be the saddest podcast we've done yet.
One of those depressing podcasts. So let's go on to our next three topics after the break. We'll be right back.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And we're back with the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, it's time to finish out these topics. There are rumors that Nintendo may be thinking of changing the name of the Wii U. Do you think there's any truth to this? And would it be a good idea if it were true?
I don't know if there's any truth to this. I saw this headline primarily on computer and video games, or CVG.
Okay.
Not really seeing it too many other places. IGN or Kotaku, I can't remember which one, said that CVG is reporting it. And that's also a European online magazine.
Yes.
So we're kind of, who knows how close they are to the truth. And CBG has said some things that I noticed in the past were kind of wishy-washy anyway, so maybe they're just trying to drum up something. And also, they've already, announced the name with a reveal. So I don't think it's changing. Some gaming websites are running with it and saying, hey, rename the Wii U and, just having kind of fun with it.
Well, it's probably not true, but I think it's a good idea if they renamed it.
And why do you think that?
Well, I think one, consumers, especially ones that aren't typically gamers, might get confused between the Wii and the Wii U because they look very similar.
Yes, they do.
So it wouldn't hurt to rename it. And you might want to kind of shed the Wii label because... Has it run its course?
Yeah, and it kind of has a negative... It's kind of a negative moniker with some gamers.
Yeah,
totally. I've told you that me and my Wii don't get along.
It broke on you.
Exactly. This sounds like a medical condition, but it's not, I assure you.
It done broke.
Yeah, so it would be smarter in that sense. And I get the confusion. I'm going to reveal a story of me being stupid. When I originally saw the Wii U reveal, maybe I wasn't paying attention enough, I thought it was just an addition to the Wii. I thought it was like a new controller. So I didn't understand that it was a new system until someone had to sit me down, intervention style, and I went, no, it's a new console.
Yeah.
So I think there would be some confusion. Capcom has announced new characters to the upcoming Street Fighter Cross Tekken. The most interesting addition to the cast is Fat Mega Man. Is this another shot by Capcom to Mega Man?
Well, people are certainly taking it that way. I think it's funny. Okay. But I've read some Capcom fanboys. They are so mad about this. And the reason is Legends 3 was canceled. There hasn't been like a new Mega Man game. I guess Mega Man 9 and 10, but those were kind of downloadable throwbacks to the originals.
Well, since Mega Man 10, you're right. Legends 3 got canceled. Universe got canceled. And now there's Fat Mega Man in a fighting game.
And Mega Man wasn't in Marvel vs. Capcom.
No.
And I can't remember the reason they said why. I guess they said, like, oh, no one plays with that character. The fans don't want him in that game.
No, I don't know the reason for it either. I know they had Zero in it. And people play the mess out of Zero for various reasons.
Yeah.
I think this... You're right. It's really funny. I saw the reveal trailer. Because I saw the headline, Fat Mega Man. I'm like, what do you mean, Fat Mega Man? And then I watched it, and it's the Mega Man 1 cover art Mega Man. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny. And they asked Capcom, oh, why are you doing this? And they're like, because we think it's funny. And basically, Capcom fanboys are saying, Capcom is trolling us. They are trolling us because they're tearing apart Mega Man, and they think this is funny Mega Man in there.
That's another reason why I think it's funny. I do like professional trolls in the in the corporate world. And this is a big troll to take someone who is supposed to be your face of the franchise and basically turn him into Dan.
That's a very good comparison. I think people are overreacting a little.
Yeah, but we can laugh at it.
We can laugh. During an investors meeting, Nintendo revealed a large list of upcoming titles for the 3DS. Steven, is this the ray of hope we were waiting for?
It's the ray of hope I've been waiting for.
Might finally get a 3DS.
Yes. The only problem I have with this list is that it's games to be released within the next financial year, which means anywhere through next March of 2013, if we're even still surviving after the apocalypse. But some of these games that I'm seeing, I would buy a 3DS. There's Paper Mario, Dragon Quest Monsters, and they mentioned Fire Emblem as well. Mm-hmm. So these are things that if Paper Mario and Fire Emblem and Dragon Quest Monsters came out and they received anywhere close to good reviews, I'd pick up a 3DS and deal with the cross-eyed syndrome that is that system.
Now, there's also a rumor that a new Smash Brothers will be out on the 3DS.
Yes, there is, but this wasn't really mentioned in this meeting.
No,
so
it was not. But...
So I don't know if it's going to be planned for the next financial year.
Right. Now, there's already some announced games, too. There's the new Kid Icarus game, which a lot of people are hating on for one reason or another.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I know I have a 3DS. I just picked up Super Mario 3D Land, which is really, really good, by the way. If you liked Super Mario 64...
Absolutely.
This game is if you like that, you're going to love this.
Huh.
Basically. It's really something. I do have a few complaints, but yeah, the 3DS has a good lineup coming.
It does. This is really, if this is all true, then this is really strong support. This is the boost that this system kind of needs.
Maybe they're going to come out with Final Fantasy V the after years on 3DS.
Why would you do? Who do you care about in that in that lineup? The Crossdresser? I care about the Crossdresser.
I don't know. Maybe Gilgamesh.
Well, he had guest spots in other games. He doesn't get to be in it.
Yeah, but he was a pretty big part of 5, wouldn't you say?
To an extent, I'm not going to say he was one of the main roles.
Now you're
I remembered
hating.
him. I remember him
hating on Gilgamesh.
I know. I'm drinking a 12-pack of Haterade.
Well, let's see. Let's check the mailbag, Steven. Any comments or questions we have from the viewers? Is our mailbag empty again?
It's empty again. Apparently, no one likes talking to us.
Yeah. You know what? I just need to put the Level 7 podcast on YouTube, and then everyone will come out.
Hey, if you post on YouTube, they shall come.
They shall come. But remember, if you have comments or questions, Steven, where can you hit us up on Twitter?
At Level7Cast.
And email?
Level7Cast@gmail.com.
And Facebook?
Level7Cast.
I think Facebook, just search for Level 7 Podcast.
Okay, that too.
That too. And
that's a much more elegant solution.
And of course, the website, thegaminghistorian.com. You can view the archives at level7podcast.com. And we're always checking that email because we want to hear from you.
Yeah, we really do.
Steven, you just click refresh all day.
I do.
Yeah.
It's starting to get to be a problem.
Uh-huh.
Like, my girlfriend will walk into a dark room and me huddled over like my laptop or something, and I'm just clicking.
Think of Steven.
Yes.
Think of him.
Yeah, think of me and think of what's soon to be my lack of a personal life.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, what's for dinner tonight?
I could not tell you. I might be slumming it tonight, just like having a bread sandwich.
Bread sandwich. So two slices of bread
with bread in between. In the middle.
That's classic. So, Steven, give me your final thoughts.
This was the most depressing podcast I think we've ever done. Like, everything just reminds me of just despair.
Despair. Well, my final thought is the next episode will be better. And
it will be.
We'll be 4 weeks in a row. And it'll be episode 10.
But watch, you're going to jinx it now. Something's going to happen. Like, I'm going to lose a leg in the war or something, and we're not going to be able to record next week.
Well, I do have one announcement. I will be on a show called Boomsies on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
It is a live video game show where two dudes basically talk about video games and debate. It's kind of like our show, but it's in video form. You can watch it live.
Wow.
On Justin TV, and I will be a guest on that show on Saturday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central. You can get the details at substance-tv.com. That's who creates the show. And we're going to be talking video games. And then on Sunday, of course, Steven and I are going to record this podcast.
And talk more video games.
Yeah, I'll be all video gamed out.
Yeah, you have to go into rehab of video games.
Yep, give me an IV full of, I don't know, something.
Blue
What's
goo?
Anti-video game?
I have no idea.
Books. Pump books in my vein.
Yeah, whatever it is, though, I'll, like, draw an E-tank on it.
That's perfect. Like that mug you have.
Yes, my E-tank coffee mug.
E-tank coffee mug. See, now you're just trolling Capcom fans, Steven.
That's fine. It's what I do.
Well... Until next time, dear viewer, take care.
Goodbye.